We started last week talking about, it's an incredible series we're on right now here, by the way, that will tie in with a lot of what we're doing on Sundays as well, but this is a very exciting series that we, I believe, in the Church of Jesus Christ are dysfunctional. We're a dysfunctional family. God is our Father, but we don't know that. And if we have knowledge of that, it's just a head knowledge. We don't get a heart knowledge of that God really, really, really does love me and care about me. So we have to continually pound that truth over and over and over again, because we go out the other 6 days and we get tainted by all the world system, or by maybe a bad situation that we live in our marriage or in our households or in our family situation that are certainly dysfunctional in many cases. So we think that God's dysfunctional and running a dysfunctional family as well. So there is an identity crisis in the body of Christ. There's no doubt about that. We just don't know who we are. So I started about last week about laying a lot of strong foundation. Got a lot of response from you over it, and I'm so glad that you're listening and paying attention. But last week I ended with this, and I'm going to start with this week because it's so incredibly important. Then we're going to dig further into it for the time that we have left tonight. But Jesus Christ, say Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
That's a good name, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a name that's above every name.
Amen.
Every name. There's nothing above His name. And so Jesus Christ, we saw last week that He is the Creator God. He is God. He's God the Son. And the Bible is very clear that He created everything. So Jesus Christ is the Creator God who came to earth as a man. That's so simple truth. Born of a virgin. We majored on that last week. You cannot be a Christian and believe otherwise. You have to believe that He is born of a virgin. I thank God for the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church stands extremely strong on that point. So I thank God that that truth is out there. And we need to make sure the Pentecostal Church, Charismatic Church, Prophetic Church, Word of Faith Church, whatever you want to put a label on us, all those things, that we don't lose that incredible truth. Because I know men of God who do not preach this. And it's sad, because they just don't even believe it. They try to explain it away. But there's no question that He was born of a virgin. We proved that to you over and over last week. And He did that in order to destroy the power of Satan. Yes, there is a devil. The biggest lie that you will ever believe is that he does not exist. And a lot of Christians that don't even believe that he exists. But he certainly is real. And He came to restore dominion over planet Earth back to man. That is, in essence, the story of Jesus and what He did and what He came to do. Of course, it goes a lot deeper than that as we dig through this. Now, the Bible is very clear to me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read a few verses here on the screen, you can see them. Verses 21 and 22, it said, these are out of the New King James Version, by the way. It says, "For since by man," this is the little m, you see that? So that means Adam. "So for since by Adam, this man, came death, by," look at this capital M, "man," that's Jesus, "also came the resurrection of the dead." So Adam, by Adam, came death, but Jesus, now put that scripture back for a second. Let me read this again. "But by man, Jesus also came," not only death, because death came by Jesus, right? "But also came the resurrection of the dead." This is so critically important. So Adam brought death, but Adam's, because of sin, but Adam's power wasn't available to bring you out of death. And there has to be a resurrection from death, or there is no life. Are you with me? So Jesus came, also the resurrection of the dead. So Jesus came not only to die for you, but also to be resurrected from the dead, because had He, and this is another truth that the church in many places lose, that Jesus was resurrected from the dead on the third day. If you don't believe that, you can't just believe Jesus died for me. That's not enough. You can't believe that He existed or believe in Him, because the devil believes that. It's not enough for that. You have to believe that He died for you, but also that He rose from the dead, because that's the power. He said to the Jews, the Pharisees, and also the Romans, He said, "You can kill this body." What He actually said was, "Destroy this temple." And He was not talking about the earthly temple, because a few verses later it mentions that He's talking about His own body. He said, "Destroy this temple," or "destroy this body by death, and I will raise it up on the third day." Who's going to raise it up? He said He would.
Right.
He would raise it up. Because he has power over death when he defeated death, and then he had the ability to raise himself from the dead, because now he's over into the realm where he is operating as God, and God has the power over death, where he raised himself from the dead. This is an amazing story, amazing gospel that you and I believe in and trust in. And I'm so excited tonight that we can believe in a God who is alive. Amen? So the resurrection of the dead. Look at the next verse, verse 22. For as in Adam, see, now explains who those, who that little man was and who the big man was. It says, for in as in Adam all die. Remember we talked about that last week? Even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now the key is you've got to be in Christ, right? So that means that you can go through this whole life and never accept Jesus into your heart and believe the gospel. Believe that he died for you, died for your sin, no other way into heaven. He's the only way. You can't get there by Buddha or Allah or Muhammad or the whatever. Just pick one. It doesn't matter. Every Krishna, pick a zillion. There's a zillion of them out there that all have a way to God. And the truth of it is, there's only one way. Jesus said that. He said, I am the way, not a way, the way. So we got to stay strong with that truth. We don't want that to infiltrate the church of Jesus Christ. He is the way. Otherwise, the first Adam could have saved you. If man can save you, then any man can save you. Pick a man, they can all save you. But they can't. Adam all die, but in Christ, all shall be made alive. So you must be born again. You've got to believe that. You've got to confess that before men and receive him into your life and into your heart. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become sons and daughters of God. So that's how simple it is. That's how simple salvation is. Not if you don't cut your hair or you wear women, you know, Carol, you can't go to heaven in jeans. You are in trouble. You cut your hair and you have jeans on. You are a floozy. Carol is a floozy. You got any makeup on tonight? Yeah, you got a little makeup on. See, you can't go to heaven. So, Don, you're free to do whatever you want to do. Praise the Lord. But are you hearing me? My wife, there's no way she's getting in heaven. No way. She is just like, I mean, it's unbelievable. But when you stop and see, start adding things to the gospel, well, then you see where you get in trouble. Now you got all these arms of religion that get involved in the simplicity that's in Jesus. It's all about him, right? Amen. You don't even need a church to get saved. Same amen. But you need a church, a gospel church, to grow you up and mature you and tell you truths and make you more mature in Christ and all of that. That's what we're doing here tonight. And giving you a foundation. When people ask you why you believe what you believe, I want you to be able to tell them why you believe what you believe. You see, I love to be cornered and ask questions because I've got the answers. Nobody can pin me down. I know what the Word of God says, and we have fun just talking. Say, what do you think about that? I don't think anything about that, but I'll tell you what the Bible says about that. See, and it takes it off my shoulders, responsibilities off me, and puts it upon God. Isn't that cool? That's what preaching is all about. That's why I don't preach philosophy and vain ideas and all these thoughts and, you know, the psychology of today. We get in the pulpit and preach the psychology of the gospel. None of that stuff is going to last at all. So you tell people what the Word says and let them deal with that on their own. Right. Amen? Amen? I love that scripture, all right? So now look at, I'm going to jump to verse 45 in the same chapter in 1 Corinthians 15. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, that's the first man, who was the first man, Adam, natural Adam, became a living being. In the King James Version, it says living soul, all right? A living soul. The last Adam, who's that? Well, we talked about that, right? The last Adam is, we just saw the few verses before that, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Now, this is incredibly powerful. I want you to think about this a minute. So, the word Adam there, the first man Adam, the word Adam means red earth. Means red earth. We know that Adam was created out of the ground, out of the dirt. Remember, God formed Adam out of the dirt of the ground, and the dirt was red earth. He formed Adam, and he breathed into Adam the breath of life. The word there, I forget what the Hebrew word is, but the word is that it's like he blew into him, blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And Adam became a living being or living soul. So he's quoting now Corinthians. This is Paul writing this book. Paul, thank God for Paul, the revelation he received. Incredible stuff. So Paul is saying the first Adam became a living being. Red earth. Okay, so what does that mean, living being, living soul? It means literally, in the Hebrew, Paul is, go back to Genesis, it literally means a speaking spirit. Because the Adam, no, the animals don't speak. Now, our little dog, cute little dog, and the longer we have that little dog, we understand every bark that she gives. When she does that, my thought, she's hungry. Sure enough, you go over and give a little chicken or a little whatever to... She feeds her. You give her that, and she's satisfied. Then there's a bark. I got to go to the bathroom. And if, sure enough, you look on the corner, she's standing by the back door, you know, waiting. And then when you start coming, she goes around in circles, like, hurry up, I got to go to the bathroom, you know. So that you can understand, you know, and you can kind of communicate with animals and things of that nature. You can do that. You have the dog whisperer now. You have horse whisperers. You have ghost whisperers. There's a show, right? Ghost Whisperer. I have not watched it, will not watch it, don't care to watch it, don't invite it into my house. I'm shocked, though, by some of the youth today that are watching that garbage. We need to speak to our youth about this stuff. It's ridiculous. But anyway, so you have people now that speak to animals, and there's a way that animals can communicate, but it is not by a language where they can communicate. Look, people say, well, animals communicate with each other. No, they do not. There is no language of animals. And people say, well, I know that that animals can, when they bark at each other, they're saying, they're not talking. They're not speaking. They are moving by, watch, animal instinct. Now, the other folks that don't believe in God and believe in Jesus of the Bible, they say, well, you know, you'll hear phrases like, well, that's that person's animal instinct come out. Or we have animal instincts. No, we don't have animal instincts. We are living beings, living souls. We are speaking spirits, right? That means we are real. We're a spirit, you and I. My body falls over dead. That body's there, but my soul and my spirit are gone. They're gone. That's what keeps this body alive. The spirit and soul is gone because I'm a speaking spirit. So when I'm dead, my body's laying there. I no longer can say anything. Can I? No, the body doesn't speak anymore. You can talk to it as long as you want. You can kick it. I won't say ouch. I mean, I'm not going to respond to you. I'm no longer speaking. Not in this realm. I'm speaking on in the other realm. But see, God created you to be like Him in His image, to act like Him in His image, to have dominion. That's what He said. And so Adam had that ability. But Adam could not create by his speaking. And this is where Christians get, I'd be careful with. Even in the faith movement, they'll say, well, you can say things and you can create that thing in your life. You cannot create anything that God has not already created. You're bringing what He created into your sight world. That's what faith does. Faith brings the unseen of God into the sight world, into our world, so we can use them, right? So whatever God blesses you with, you get that from that world, but you get it over here by your speaking, by your conversation. And that's why God created you to be a speaking spirit. That makes sense?
Yeah.
I don't want to go so deep you don't get it, but you do get it, right? So you became a speaking spirit. That's why people that say, well, you can create things by your saying. No, you can't. You can't create anything at all. God is the creator. You are not. You only say what God already created. Therefore, you're only bringing what He created into your world where you can use it for His glory. That's what this is all about. So, Adam only had the ability then, but he had this incredible wisdom before he sinned. Incredible wisdom. After sin, he was the dumbest person on planet Earth. He was. When you sin, you're the dumbest person on Earth. Because now sin has dominion over you. You traded God for Satan. That is not a very smart person.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Let's not get too hard on Adam, though, because we do it too.
Right.
Not me, but some of y'all. But anyway... So, now Adam is, Bible says that all the animals were brought to Adam. So who created the animals? God, the Creator. Adam didn't create them. But they were created by God, and when they came to Adam, the animals, Adam would say, horse. And they became what Adam said But God created him, but he was a speaking spirit with the wisdom of God saying what that horse should be. A horse could have been snake. And we'd have been riding snakes around. We wouldn't have known the difference. No. Wouldn't have known the difference at all. Just see a horse crawling around on four legs. That's a snake. I know. I know it's weird, isn't it? But whatever he called them, they became that. In other words, they identified with that. So he had the ability to speak and bring an identity to something that God had created. Now think about what I just said. So now you are people of God. You don't even know that half the time. You walk around like you're people of something else. But you are people of the Most High God, bought by the blood of Jesus, brought in adoption, you know, in, by his sons and daughters into the kingdom of God, into the Son of his love, into God's kingdom. And you have this incredible authority, incredible anointing on your life. And we walk around like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do now, but I'm out of a job. Don't know what I'm going to do now. I can't tithe anymore. The tough times ahead. I mean, we live in this funky realm that we don't know who we are because we don't identify with him. How do you identify with him? Watch. When Adam said, you're a horse, the identity of the horse, he understood at that point, that horse got it, I'm a horse. And Adam said, that's a horse. And God said, I created that animal and you gave it an identity. God always allows you, his creation who has dominion, he always wanted you to have dominion to speak and identify with him. So everything we should say should be, I want to identify with my Heavenly Father. I want to identify with my Savior. I want to identify with the God on earth who is the Holy Spirit who is in me and I am his house. I want to identify with that. But I don't want to identify with him because I pray harder, because I give more, because I go to church more, because I benevolence all over the world helping people. I don't want to, you can't identify with God that way. You can only identify with God through relationship. Adam walked with God every day. God would come down and say, there's my creation. Come on, let's take a walk. And they would walk together in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden, walking with the Creator. And God would say, what do you think about the animal? Oh, that's, I just named that, the zebra. Oh, that's cool. Zebra, I like that, Adam. That's very good. You took my creation and you gave it an identity. Boy, I hope you're hearing this. Because this is what's going to change your life. When you understand that what I say every day of my life, what I speak out of my mouth, must be lined up with God's creation already. And when I say that, I'm identifying with that. And I want to identify with Christ on this earth. And we're going to dig. And we're going to look, we're going to kick over rocks and see something under there. We're going to pull back the trees and see something over there. We're going to look under every little thing we can and pull out truths in God's Word that are so simple that we lose them. But that's what the Word says. The first man, Adam, became a living being, speaking spirit. Look it up for yourself in the Hebrew and in the Old Testament. Genesis became a living soul, speaking spirit. Very powerful, and I can go on and on about that, but I'll stop right there. That is such a revelation. I hope somebody's writing this stuff down. Because you know when I got that revelation? Right now. Right now. I just got it. Did you hear me?
Yes.
I don't have it up there. I got it right here from the Holy Spirit. He said, Adam identified. Animals were just animals until he identified and gave them a name, gave them an identity. You see, we've got to have power to identify with God. All right? Very, very important. Now, that's verse 45, right now. So Jesus, let me go on with this. No. The last Adam, let's talk about him. That's the most important one. The last Adam. Who's that? Jesus. We knew that in verses 21 and 22. So the last Adam is Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. Adam is red dirt, right? So it was natural man. So Jesus is identified as a natural man, which means that your identity comes through a God who has been touched with the infirmities that you have, and all, and you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Whatever you are going through, Jesus went through it in His flesh as well. The only difference is, He was good and you were bad. He made it and you didn't. He didn't sin and you did. See, that's the difference. He's perfect. So therefore, the last Adam, man, a natural man, because remember, if in order for to remove the curse, we talked about last week, in order to remove the curse of sin, God couldn't change the rules and say, I don't like the way this is going. You know, Adam, you blew it. It's okay, because I'm going to just wipe everything out and we're going to start over with you, Adam. And I pronounce you clean. He's capable of doing that. God could have done that, but He didn't, because He's a just God and a righteous God. And so therefore, He's an equal opportunity God, which means is when I put something in motion as God, He did, in motion, it has to stay that way forever.
Right.
It never changes. It's eternal. When God says something, it lives forever. It never dies. That's why God's very careful with His words. And so He already, in eternity past, put together a plan of redemption. We know that. Before you were ever created, ever thought of, ever were on earth, before there anybody ever was, ever, in eternity past, when nothing but God Himself, He made the plan of redemption back then, long before He created anything. He's a God of plans. He knows what He's doing. So therefore, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So the first Adam was a speaking spirit, couldn't create life. He could only quote or say and give credence and identity to what God had already created. You can't create. Devil thinks he can. Devil's a liar. Devil creates nothing. He has nothing new, no weapon, no arsenal, no nothing he can use against you. He is dumb as a doorknob. He knows nothing. So therefore, God is an all-knowing God, gave the wisdom to Adam to speak identity to everything He created. And then later on, our Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. That means He was able now not to just speak things into existence, which He was able to do that, but now He was able to give life to everyone who come to Him. That's why John 10:10 is so critically important. He came that we might have life. He's a life-giving spirit. And life more abundantly. To the max. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing harmed until it overflows. I mean, are you living that kind of life? Most of you, you've got to say, no, you're not. So we've got to get to the point where we live that kind of life, because that is the identity that we need to create in our own life. If you don't have it, you have to create that identity by relationship with Him. Either you're listening intently or you have no clue what I'm saying. It's going over. Are you okay?
Yeah.
This is not that complicated. I'm trying to break it down as simple as I can. All right? So Jesus was born perfect without sin. The only man ever born perfect without sin. You must believe that. Just like Adam was born perfect and without sin. Remember the first one? Perfect without sin. Jesus came born perfect without sin. So both of them were the same in that, in their beginning. But Jesus had His own test of obedience that was similar to Adam's. Because if there is not a test of obedience, then there is not the possibility of failure. And there has to be the test of obedience with the possibility of failure. Remember, He's a man. Or otherwise, there would be no Savior for us. He had to be tempted. He had to overcome. He had to get through this thing on His own without the help of His Father, without the help of angels. He never received the help of angels. Remember, He said, don't you know that I can call for 12 legions of angels right now? Don't you know you have no power whatsoever over me? Remember, He said, you have no authority over me, no power over me. I can call for all the angels that I want right now, and they will slay everybody. If I cried out in one way for compassion from my Father, He would wipe earth out. And God would have to do it. Why? Because He was perfect. God would have to listen to everything Jesus said. You better be thankful Jesus is a person of grace. Because if He wasn't, we'd all be dead. But we're not, thank God. He's a person of grace, all right? So Jesus is a man on whom Satan, say Satan, he's real, right, has no claim. Why? Because he's perfect. He's a man who can now legally and morally challenge Satan. This is very important. He's another Adam. He is another man, the second man, the one born the same way the first one was, right by a woman. The only difference is there was no man involved. It was a virgin birth. So you have a perfect man. He is, this is really strange, but he's all man and he's all God. But he's only all man on earth, just like you and I, which means that he didn't take any the short route. He never used his deity ever on his own behalf. Ever. The only time he used his deity was on somebody else's behalf. Oh, you're dead? Well, that's okay. Then, you know, I'll raise your right. That's deity in operation. But it's coming through a man who was perfect. That's why everything Jesus did, there was a miracle. He did more than the books could even contain. Why? Because everything he did, he just oozed life. He was a life-giving spirit. So anybody says, well, God's got you sick, brother, to teach you a lesson. Well, all right, fine. If you believe that, let's just take that scripture and throw it away. Because there's one out of about, probably 5,000 that we did. I'll tell you what, let's just take the New Testament and throw it away. Let's just go back and hang up the Ten Commandments on the courthouse wall and be proud of that. That is the Ten Commandments. We love the Ten Commandments. Who cares about the Ten Commandments? Now, they are righteous, but only until the one who came, who was perfect and able to fulfill the law. And once he did it, we don't need it anymore because you had to keep it until the day Jesus kept it all and died and said it is finished. And therefore, we walk by grace. I got a revelation. This is good stuff. That's why the gospel is good news. Nothing bad about it. Well, God's teaching me something, brother. I'm going through something miserable. I could have said that in Hoppe. Well, God's teaching me something, you know. That would have been a lie. It would have been absolute untrue. I need to learn something, all right. I need to learn to listen to God when He tells me to do stuff. Lose that weight. I'll bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. God wants me to enjoy everything. Lay down and watch TV. Don't take that walk. Well, there's the devil. But I thought it was God. Oh, that's God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you hearing me? I'm not going to tell all of myself just yet. We'll get into that later on. But when I start telling on me, I got to tell on you too. Is it okay? Oh, praise the Lord. So this of course really presents a problem for Satan, a real problem, a big problem. He has to figure out now a way to get dominion. Say dominion. Remember, that's what Adam lost and Satan got back, dominion. But now he has a problem because he's found a man that he's not sure about. He's at this baptism of John, you know, John the Baptist, and he's there because they're taunting John. That comes from Satan. So Satan's there. And then he sees this person named Jesus step down in the water. And he's been watching him anyway, right? How do we know he's been watching him? Because he he's about to meet him in a few verses out in the wilderness. So he knows this one is somebody. Who is this? He's not sure. I got to keep my eye on it. The Bible is very clear that he did not know. If you would have known he was the Lord of glory, you would not have crucified him.
Right.
That's what the Bible says. So he didn't know. He was looking, watching, trying to figure it all out. And so when Jesus steps down in the water, remember that?
Yeah, right.
And John the Baptist says, oh, no way. He says, I am not even worthy to bend down and I can't, no, baptize me. And Jesus said, no, let that be put aside for right now. You need to do this. Why did Jesus need to be water baptized? Okay, we baptize today to wash away sin in the church. There's a fallacy. We're so careful about it that we're going to do it as babies. Call it christening. I had my children's christen. We were Catholic, so I had my children's christen. And I want to do the right thing. Took our little babies in there. I mean, how much sin can they have? Right? Original, brother. Yeah, okay, whatever. So, So, but what does that act do? Wash away their sins, right? I got a newsflash here. Water can never do that. Blood had to do it. Even in the Old Testament, blood. They washed the animal, baptism, before they killed the animal for the blood to bring forgiveness to the nation. But it was the blood. All right? So you have Jesus stepping down in the water. He didn't sin. He had no problems, right? But he stepped down in the water. He said, baptize me. Oh, no. You baptize me. He said, no. Let that go for right now. Suffer it to be so. But I want you to do this, that we can fulfill everything. Well, what hadn't been done up to this point? The Father had not approved him. Right? No, nothing. So those blessed were those who were at the water baptism that day. Blessed are those, man. And guess who else was there? Satan was there. So blessed are those. Satan was blessed. He got to hear this. What did he hear? He baptized him. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. Now get the picture of the dove out of your mind. It was not a picture. It was not a dove that came down and lit on his head. It was not a dove. Spirit of God, like a dove. All right, I don't know. That's what the word said. So the Spirit of God came upon him, and the Father spoke from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When that was spoken, the authority behind heaven was just spoken upon this man of flesh, who now must be justified through his obedience the temptations now, or otherwise he could not be who he said he was, who God said that he was. And Satan heard it. Right?
Right.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So what's the importance of water baptism? Wash Jesus' sin away? Of course not. Oh, he did it to show us what we should do. Are you crazy?
No.
That's not important. Yes, when you are saved. Yes, when you apply the blood, you should be water baptized. The Bible says, follow him in water baptism. Very critically important you do it, but not for your salvation. Jesus did that in obedience to let the world hear the voice of Jehovah the Father from heaven and confirm him and say, in case you didn't know it up until now, this is the last Adam. That's what Satan heard. This is the last Adam. Hey, Satan, remember a couple of thousand years at that point, about 4,000 years ago when I told you in Genesis 3:15, I was going to crush your head? Well, that day's finally here. What are you going to do about it? And the Bible says Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That had to be done. And the devil was glad to do it because he said, I'll trip him up because he's just flesh. He bleeds like you bleed. He bruises like you bruise. He's tempted like you're tempted. I watch him. I've been watching him. He hadn't made a mistake yet, but I know I can get at him. Because see, most of you do not have Satan himself come to you. Because he's only one devil. One place, one time. That's it. Now, he has a lot of hierarchy. He has a lot of imps, and he has a structure, obviously, in the spirit world, and there are demons and so forth. He has all of that. But for Satan to bother with you, that's not going to happen. He's dealing with big people that are influential, that run nations, maybe even the White House in times past, or the Congress. I'm sure the devil's in the Congress. They can't get along at all. But anyway, somebody will stand up and say, can't we all just get along? I think that guy that got elected, he's that kind of guy. Yeah. Down home, laid back, just a straight-talking pickup truck. When he said pickup truck, I love that guy. That's what I drive. But anyway, so Satan only deals with special individuals, right? You don't deal with everybody. Demons do, of course, and we have authority over those. So Satan doesn't have that kind of authority. But now he sees that this is a son of God. He's not going to send the devil, a demon, out to deal with Jesus. I'm going to deal with Jesus. That's what he's thinking. I did it once to Adam. I can do it to this Adam too. That's how cocky he is. All right, you with me? Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. All right, we're just having fun, right? Y'all come back next week? All right, well, I'll be here too. We'll have fun. All right, let me just wrap up a little bit here. All right, so he has to figure out a way to get that back from this Adam because this Adam is a little bit different than the other Adam. He has to get this Adam to do the same as the other one did, which is rebel against the will of God. That's what the first one did. So he tries everything to get Jesus to sin. He does everything he can. And this struggle really comes down, struggle of the ages really, that comes down to this moment in time, this very moment, comes face to face in a hot desert, in a very hot desert. And the two of them battling for dominion over the earth and over man once again. Now, Satan is tempting Jesus as he did with Adam in the garden. I'm going to go to Luke 4 next week. And we're going to open that up and go through that Luke chapter 4 where Jesus was led by the Spirit. I'm laying foundation of that story. When we go to Luke 4 next week, you're going to say, oh, I know how he got there. I know what that's all about. I know now that he is affirmed as the Son of God. What is God doing? What is God doing? The same thing he expects you to do. What is God doing? What is Jesus doing? What are they doing? What is man, Jesus, the man Jesus doing? Remember, he's man, all man. So what is he doing? He is identifying with the Father. Wow. First time. See, no miracles before this point. You can't find one. Never did a miracle. Never nothing at all. All of a sudden, he appears in the waters of baptism. Like, who are you? Well, I know who you are. We know your brothers. We know your sisters. We know your mother. We know your father. We know your people. We know where you live. And you've been with us all this time. And now, who are you? Stepping down here, stopping the show. Well, he didn't answer who he was, but the Father did. The Father identified with him. This is my beloved Son. And the Son identified with the Father by receiving the Holy Spirit, who did not say, isn't it giddy to have the Holy Ghost? Don't you just feel giddy? Don't you feel like jerking under the anointing? Don't you feel like falling down? Don't you feel like just, are you with me? Yeah. Now, there's nothing wrong with the jerk. There's nothing wrong with falling down. There's nothing wrong with the, you know, because your flesh responds in different ways to God. There's nothing wrong with any of that. I've had that, man. I jumped off the platform one time, which is about twice as high as that one, because that was my younger days, and right now I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to do it, but jumped off that platform, hit the floor running around our big church we had, did about 10 laps around that church. All of a sudden, a church is following me, running up behind me. The whole place is going bananas. The praise and worship is going through the roof, and we're like, ah! I'm like, people say, why did you do that? I don't know. My flesh just went nuts. So I believe in all of that. But not when God is trying to identify. God identifies by words. That was never spoken in the earth. God never spoke that into this realm ever before. This is my beloved Son. Now, he says it later on again on the Mount of Transfiguration, but that's a different deal altogether. But yet, never those words were spoken. And when God speaks words, they become life for eternity. So God is saying, you are my beloved Son, and I am well pleased in you from this day forever. You will never displease me. And Jesus said, I received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit come upon him. It wasn't giddy, was it? Wasn't even tongues. Wasn't goosebumps. It was like, you're about to be tempted. And we're going to the hot desert. Lord, I want to go to the Holiday Inn. I want a 5-star hotel. I don't want to go. That's why most Christians are today. That's why we're weak and anemic. That's why we don't know who we are, because we want the easy path, the light road. You know, show me the easy way, Lord. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus said, okay, Spirit of God, where do you want me to go? Go to the desert, because the devil is waiting for you, and you've got to be tempted just like Adam was, and you must win this battle, and don't come back until you do. And he went out there for 40 days and 40 nights. We're going to read it. I'll show you some revelations there, incredible stuff. And he defeated the devil. Praise defeated the devil. And he came back in the power of the Spirit. And they look out, heaven and earth, hell and everything else, because now miracles began. And when miracles begin, Jesus is identifying with the Father. The reason we don't see the miracles we need to see, we're not identifying. We got an identity crisis, and we're going to fix it. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, that's good preaching. I'm telling you, I think I might go on TV. Glory to God. But anyway, we praise the Lord, don't we? I want this church to understand that the Word of God is true. Not because I went through something that doesn't change the Word of God. I'm thankful that I went through what I went through. I can't tell you every day, well, not every day, but as much as I think about it, Lord, thank you. Because what I am, where I am right now, to where I was before this happened, I am incredibly strong. I have renewed vision and purpose and new drive. I know I missed you on Sunday, but that was just, I had that for 9 weeks in surgery, and it had to be dealt with that morning. It's the only time they had to do it, and I had to submit to that and get it done. But it's all taken care of. It's not a big deal, but it's all done. But the point, well, not a heart issue. Everything's great. So I want you to understand that the Word of God is true. It's not what we think about it or because we go through circumstances. The reason we have what we go through is because we must identify with Him the way He identified with the Father. We make that connection. And of course, this is all scriptural and all of this fits together perfectly like a glove in a hand. But when you get that, your life changes forever. And you become a Word person. Word person. Not an emotional person. Not just a person of flesh. We are a spiritual people because of the life-giving Spirit that lives on the inside of us. His name is Holy. His name is Holy. Not your name. Your name not holy. But His name's holy. And He makes you holy. Isn't that good? You don't have to go to bed one night thinking, oh, geez, I did something wrong today. I'm probably going to go to hell now. You're never going to go to hell. If you're saved, you're never going to go to hell. That's eternal security. Somebody said, oh, I heard about the eternal security stuff. You're either saved eternally or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. And if you're not secure, get saved. It's real simple. The open condemnation has no place in you. You are free.